It's Marketplace Tech for January 15th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Intel is often cited as the largest chip maker in the world. After completing its acquisition of another semiconductor company, Altera, that moniker seems further solidified. Well, the company had an earnings call yesterday. The takeaway?
It was a decent quarter.
That is Bloomberg Intelligence tech analyst Anand Srinivasan. Part of the reason for the good news is that Altera acquisition I mentioned. Part of Intel's plan for a world where PCs are being purchased less and servers and cloud computing could be more lucrative for chip makers. Only issue for Intel there is that cloud computing companies don't buy hardware like regular old consumers do.
With the exposure to these cloud computing powerhouses comes inconsistency of revenues. As the PC market has dwindled, you become a lot more dependent on the cloud service providers, but they tend to be inconsistent in their buying patterns.
By the way, regular old PC sales dropped 10.5% last quarter, in part because of competition from smartphones and tablets. That's according to market research firm IDC. Photocentric swipe-happy dating app Tinder already feels, for some, like a bit of a meat market. But if you want the dirty truth, there's a whole lot more data to dig into behind the screen. Whether or not you are swiping right for like and left for no thanks, online services of all kinds leverage information on user interactions to build algorithms designed for making more love connections. Well, senior Fast Company writer Austin Carr got a close-up on this recently while reporting on Tinder. Austin, Tinder gives users a number score that's actually based in the history of the game of chess?
Yeah, it's called an ELO score. And basically the idea is Tinder keeps track of all of its users and tracks them based on desirability. It's a rating they give to everyone who swipes left and swipes right, and it determines who is the most desirable and also who is the least desirable on the platform.
A lot of dating app companies and online dating companies use this kind of algorithmic solution to help them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Tinder's sister company, OkCupid, one of the things you can do on that platform is search for folks based on how attractive they are. They might swipe right because not just because of your photo, but because you had a funny biography in your profile. So there's a lot more signals there beyond just, oh, I saw Ben's profile photo and he was super attractive and I liked his smile. There's a lot more
Which, of course, they would. Even though I'm married 4 years, of course they would. You tell this story of people at the company and people there kind of revealing your score to you and other data being available connected to that score, but them not really letting you see it?
Well, they did tell me that some of the data points that they have are just things that I wouldn't want to see. You know, if you think about it, would you want to see how many people you swiped right or swiped left on? Let's say it was 20,000 people. I mean, that's a pretty depressing statistic in your dating life if you realize you've swiped through 20,000 people and you're still single. The vast majority of my friends have said, I have no interest in knowing this number, unless, of course, it's incredibly high.
Do you come away from this experience thinking we can all be reduced to a set of numbers?
No. I think these are numbers that Tinder keeps internally just to match people better. And I would like to think that it doesn't come down to just, I have a 946, so therefore I should only be ranked or matched with folks, you know, on a scale of 800 to 1,000. In the same way that, you know, you might want an Uber driver that's a 5.0, but the one who's a 4.9 is actually a super nice person as well.
Austin Carr is a senior writer at Fast Company. Austin, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
It's Silicon Tally time. Joining me this week is Paula Willey. She blogs about children's books and young adult fiction at unadulterated.us. She's also a tech-savvy librarian in Baltimore County. Paula, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech and, sure, library news?
Oh, I am really ready.
All right, what do you got for me?
Eight installments.
Eight installments is the number of installments in the next Harry Potter series that hasn't been announced yet, but you know about it because you're part of a secret librarian group that knows about this.
I would be under lock and key if that were the case. No, 8 is the number of installments of a new digital-first series from Harlequin, which is a publisher that's been famous for many, many years for doing romance novels. This is a digital-first series released on January 12th, each written by a different author and ending with a cliffhanger, but they are all being published on the same day. So this has a whole Jessica Jones kind of binge-watching model that they're trying out.
Wow. Binge-watching, but for digital books.
Which makes you wonder, why aren't they just publishing the whole book?
It's an interesting idea. Do you think it'll work?
Yeah, I think it'll work. Romance novel readers are big e-book consumers. Romance and erotic fiction readers like reading on their Kindle.
I guess that makes sense. You get it delivered straight to your device instead of having to go and awkwardly take it out from the library.
Right, where we'll make fun of you. No, that's not true.
All right, I got another number for you. 37,000 apps.
That's either a really big number or a really, really big number. 37,000 apps available in the App Store?
You're very close, and, you know, it's like you're in the library, but I'm looking for a specific section. This is the number of apps in the social communications category in the U.S. App Store, Apple's App Store, of course. Currently, Peach is number one.
Okay.
So Peach is the work of this co-founder of Vine, Dom Hoffman, and it's a really popular messaging app. I mean, are you like an early adopter of social media platforms or social network?
I was up until about Snapchat. Then I sort of washed my hands and I can't do anymore.
You topped out at Snapchat.
That's it. That was my limit.
Paula Willey blogs at unadulterated.us. She's also a librarian in Baltimore County. Paula, thanks for playing along.
It's been a pleasure.
More from us, as always, at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.